It's Mike Trim with Crawford Media Group. Again, we're joined by Dr. Dick Swinston. He's the senior and teaching pastor of Cross Point Community Church in Centennial. Today, we're talking about Christmas.
That's correct. It's a beautiful nativity story, but Hallmark, unfortunately, has infected a lot of the truth of the Bible. And, you know, what I'd like to talk about is, you know, some of those myths that surround Christmas. For instance, most people, if you ask the average person, how many wise men were there? They're going to answer three. But nowhere in the Bible does it tell us there's three. There are three gifts. And there's the assumption because of three gifts, there's three wise men. But there's no reason to assume that. That's an argument of silence. You also know that one was Caucasian, one was Arabian, and one was African. No, you don't know that. Nowhere is that in
Hollywood?
The Bible. That's Hollywood and Hallmark. And also, we know their names, right? If you ask the other average person, well, what are their names? And they would give you the names of Caspar, Melchor, and Belshazzar. And of course, sounds good, but that was a 6th century invention. So nowhere is that in there. But there is a greater myth when it comes to the Christmas story. And that involves what was shining up in the sky. If you go into the average church, you'll see a star that's shining over a nativity scene. And that also brings up the second great myth, that the so-called wise men, or as some Bibles call them, magi, weren't even at the nativity. Now, let me see if I can explain that. It says in Matthew, the 2nd chapter, that they're coming into town, and they're coming to Jerusalem, and they're trying to find out, where is the King of the Jews? Not something you wanted to ask if you're in Herod's backyard.
Yeah.
He would take that very personally. And then they go on to say, for we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now, there's a lot of different ideas. You've got to deal with who were these men. Some say they were Babylonians, a lot of different areas they may have been through. I think that they were probably the Medo-Persian Empire. They were Persians, and they were probably Zoroastrianism, which, like Judaism, believed in one God, and they also believed that there was a coming Messiah. What this text tells us is that if it was Persia, they were in Persia and saw his star and decided to make a trip to Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem? Well, there's a couple reasons is Jerusalem. One is that was the city of David, where the king of Israel would be born. So they were headed to. Now, when they came into the city, if you were on the walls of Jerusalem and looking down, you're not going to see these guys eloquently robed, royally clothed or anything. They would probably have this weird little hat on, a short tunic, and they would probably come into town and no one have known
ordinary
any difference.
Guys, right?
Just ordinary guys. But they've been studying, and they're probably... Some of these Zoroastrians and some of the Magi got into the black arts. I don't think that was them, but they're a very educated class. They were an educated class. If we could say maybe like the Druids in England. And so they had heard this, and they believed in a coming Messiah. That star that they saw while they were in Persia got their attention, and they decided to come to Jerusalem. Now, when they come to Jerusalem, they don't know where this king is. So they go about the townspeople asking, where is the King of the Jews? Thinking that everybody in Jerusalem go. And they said, we've seen his star in the east. Well, everybody gives them the furrowed brow look. They have no idea where this king is. Herod hears about it. And he says, come up here. I want to talk to you. Now, Herod's an evil, evil toady of a king. And he's trying to kind of, if you will, collude them into helping him find the king so he can kill this king as he killed his own son. He's not above reproach. So anyway, he asks him where he is. And he says, well, when you find him, come back to me and tell me so that I too may worship him. Well, they still didn't know where to go. They came out of the temple palace and they looked up. Lo and behold, there was a star shining. The same star, if you will, I put that in air quotes, star that was shining in Persia. That star begins to lead them for 5 miles to Bethlehem. And then it hovers over the nativity. Now, that doesn't sound like any natural phenomenon that I know about. The last time I checked, suns or stars did not have the ability to appear and disappear, the ability to have a GPS system, or the ability to point out specific things. This one does. The word that's used for star is aster, which just means a shining thing, and sometimes it does mean the stars. But it can't be a star in this situation because of those very things I mentioned. It appears, disappears. It is able to guide and lead, and it is able to point out. Now, has there ever been a shining object that's ever happened with the Jewish people? There has been. For instance, Moses at the burning bush. It had the ability to reveal something and to lead Moses to that burning bush. That's why it never burned up. It was something else, not a natural phenomenon. Or how about the tabernacle? Yes. The tabernacle had, it says, fire by night, cloud by day. But that fire didn't burn the people up. What is that? And then if you look in Ezekiel, the 10th chapter, you actually see something leaving the temple and going to over the threshold of the temple, going up to the sky to disappear for over 400 years. What was the Star of Bethlehem? It's very simple. The Shekinah glory of God. And the Shekinah glory of God. And what was happening, that glory led Israel in the tabernacle. It would meet with Aaron over the Holy of Holies once a year. And it would give directions. The voice gave directions to Moses. He saw it. He went to it. It hovered over a bush, and he got directions. He got something. So the wise men, it says over here that when they came to Jerusalem in verse 11 and coming into the house, Jesus was several months old, if not maybe more than a year old, when the Magi showed up to worship him.
Interesting. So was it, like you said, Hallmark card?
Hallmark cards. We've got them all there. And they're
the
bringing
TV special.
You're ruining the TV special. I know I am, but I love the Bible so much. And the Bible, we've got to go with what the Bible says over Hallmark. It's holy. Hallmark is Hallmark.
Thank you. So Christmas, what are there other Christmases we can add to this? Because there's a couple. Right there.
Yeah, yeah. Those are the big ones right there that you have right there with the star. And I think it's a much better story if you're saying, wait a minute, because here's the thing. Remember what it says in John, the first chapter. And we beheld his glory. Glory as the only begotten, full of grace and truth. And in Matthew, the 17th chapter, what happens? You have the transfiguration, and Jesus kind of lets a little of that Shekinah, that glory, that he is clothed in flesh for 3 years for the disciples to see it. And what do they want to do? They want to build a what? A tabernacle for God to dwell in. You see, it's a great story knowing that it was the very presence of God, Shekinah, that appeared to Israel in the Old Testament. That glory leaves in Ezekiel, the 10th chapter, and goes back up to heaven because it says that the name Ichabod was given at that point. Ichabod means the glory has departed. But the Christmas story is the glory returns and is clothed in Jesus Christ.
Dr. Dix, we're speaking, by the way, with Dr. Dix Winston. He's the senior and teaching pastor of Cross Point Community Church in Centennial. And with that, that's a lot more encouraging than I thought.
It is.
This might really pop our bubble a little bit, right?
Yeah, yeah. Now, let me give you one more thing.
Okay.
When they were there, remember Herod said, come back and tell me.
Yeah.
What happened? They were warned in a dream not to go there. It says they were, not an individual, but the whole cadre, however many they were, God gave them the same dream. I imagine they woke up the next morning and says, wow, did I ever have a weird dream? And they started sharing, I had the same dream. And they decided not to go to Herod at that point, and they went straight home. You see, God was communicating through a Shekinah glory.
Saved their lives, and God knew what was going on.
And God knew what was going on.
What was Herod
going
to do to Jesus, right?
Yes, absolutely.
With these myths, producer Matt and I were talking about this. there's some that, are they harmless? I guess I'm trying to find the right way of saying it. Is there some stuff where it's okay and it's not, you know, people sometimes will butt heads over this.
Yeah, they will. They will. And, you know, I think that, you know, there's a lot bigger issues. I do think it's a fairly significant issue.
Yes,
that if we're going to get the Bible right, we need to say, and at our church, we have several nativities there. I tried to fight the battle that could we take the Magi and set them on another table? They're on their way yet. I didn't win that one with either my wife or the congregation. We want the Magi at the scene. I said, I get it. That's right. What it's supposed to be.
Well, being biblically true and right
that's
to the
right.
Word, that's so important.
Yeah.
And, tell us, we've got a couple of minutes left. What are some Christmas traditions that are biblically sound and wise and good for us to have with our families?
Right, right. Well, the first of all is, as you always hear at this time, the reason for the season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is sad that it's become so commercialized. I was, this Sunday in preaching, I was quoting from one of my favorite poets, William Wordsworth, one of the Lake District poets in England. And he has a marvelous poem, although he was not a Christian, he was a naturalist. And he said, the world is too much with us, spending and getting da-da-da-da-da-da. And I think what happens, Christmas should be a time that we refill our souls with the glory of God. And whatever you do, be sure you get those kids to the Christmas Eve services.
Yes.
And be sure those kids understand it's not about presents. It's the greatest gift that we've ever been given. That is the God-man, Jesus Christ. So whatever else you do, and we decorate our house, we've got a Christmas tree, we've got lights out, we love it. Because I don't want to be the one couple on the block that has no Christmas lights, that has no joy, that has no cheer, and they say, oh, by the way, he's a pastor.
Yes, that joyfulness.
Yes.
One other question before we go. As far as Advent calendars, something that seems like it would really help children, you know, see this is about Christ. This is not about the things that you receive on Christmas morning.
Yeah, I think Advent calendars are great. However, again, Hallmark's gotten hold of them, and now they've got Santa Claus on the front, you know. And so they're not counting down to Jesus. They're counting down. So if you get an Advent calendar, be sure it's at least got baby Jesus somewhere there, not baby Santa Claus.
Thank you. And I think, too, in the little, you know, some of them are the wooden ones where you open up the little
yes.
door. How about a scripture passage instead of a piece of candy? Full disclosure,
yes,
we use candy way too much.
I think so. And throw a scripture in there. And I would say, by the way, let's see if we can memorize one of these together as a family and maybe memorize part of the nativity story. Go to the shepherds and what they saw. And the angel, by the way, when the angel with the shepherds breaks out, it's a bright shine. It's a flashbang. It's the hallelujah chorus. That was the Shekinah glory getting their attention. It's all about Jesus, and it's all about God coming back to earth.
Going to the Christmas Eve service, you just talked about that. That's kind of part of that, right?
Where oh, it is.
Your kids say, oh, okay, this is not just about presents.
It's about that. And we're going to have one at 4 o'clock on Christmas Eve. We have one that, you know, it's such a solemn, and then everybody goes home, and I think that sets the right mood for Christmas that comes. We've just been in a Christmas service. Now, as we come together and eat and celebrate the coming kingdom, what are you grateful for? And let's not talk about presents.
That's Cross Point Community Church, 4 p.m. Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve.
Website?
Website, crosspointco.org. Crosspointco.org. We're in Centennial, Colorado.
Dix, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Mike. You make it easy.